Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we bow down before you and with grateful hearts, thanking you for all things, thanking you for your grace and your mercy and your word. Thank you for the gift of salvation and the promise of an eternity with you in your presence. Guide us today as we look at your word another time in the Psalms, and help us to glean what you have for us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're working our way through up a number a week, one a week, and we're at 60 today. It's another miktam, or a teaching psalm, or a golden psalm, if you will, of David. And this is, it says, to the chief musician, so this is to be played before the whole congregation. Set to the lily of the testimony. We don't know what that means, but probably in the springtime. A miktam of David for teaching when he fought against Mesopotamia and Syria of Zobah, and Job returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. So what we have here is the first few verses here is verses of complaint. Then we have verses of gladness, and then we have verses of prayer. So we have a king here who's now established. He's in Jerusalem. You know, he's been a king for a while. He's moved the ark in. And in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, he got the promise from God through Nathan when David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And God said, I'll build you a house. And from your seed, basically, will come the Messiah. He'll reign forever. So things are going well for David. And now David is giving him great victories over Israel's enemies. Now, when he came into office, it was a mess. First of all, Joshua went in and the Lord delivered all seven enemy nations to Israel, right? But now about 380, maybe 400 years of the period of the judges has occurred with everybody doing what they wanted to do, and it was a disaster. So they wanted a king, and so they got Saul, and he was a disaster. He was selling his favors by giving people money and property. And you remember Doeg had all these priests killed, and he was putting the worst possible men in office. So Israel was in disarray. Israel was a mess. So now David comes along, and he's doing things right, and God is blessing in a tremendous way. Now he's got all of the Israel army with him, all the way up to the river Euphrates, subduing Syria, Mesopotamia, and Zobah. Zobah is apparently an area where there's some good fighters, because we have that occasionally in here. 2 Samuel 3:8. After this came to pass that David attacked the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Methegamah from the hand of the Philistines, that's Jordan. Then he defeated Moab, forcing them down to the ground. He measured them off with a line. With two lines, he measured off those to be put to death, and with one full line, those he kept a line. So the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. Verse 3, David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rahab, king of Zobah. There it is, Zobah. And he went to recover his territory at the river Euphrates. And in verse 13 now, we have it continuing on, and David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He also put up garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put up garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants, and David preserved, the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David's on a roll, and he's really doing great. He gets all this army up here, and God allows a little test. The Edomites, the pesky Edomites, you know, the descendants of Esau, always fighting, always trying to take advantage of Israel when it was down. So they knew that all the army was up north, so what do? They attack. They attack Israel. They want to cut Israel in half while Israel has no defenses. And so David, now we think, writes this song at that point. And he's basically kind of saying, Lord, I know we've done wrong things. So one thing is very important here in this psalm, I believe that it teaches us, is that when things aren't going right, the first thing you want to check is, how is your relationship with the Lord? Not, oh, Lord, how could you let this happen? I mean, what's wrong with you? I mean, Lord, you're messing up here, you know. No, what's going on with the Lord? And so David says now in this psalm, you will see some of those questions asked here at admissions here. And so we begin the psalm by saying, oh, God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. So there you got it. Why is God displeased? You have been displeased, oh, restore us again. Well, he's been displeased because they have spent so much time turning their back against him. And so here's a prayer, oh, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it just like an earthquake. Heal its breaches for its shaking. You have shown your peoples hard things, hard things. And we're going to see a lot more hard things in this nation because of what we're doing. You've made us drink the wine of confusion. So I wanted to begin today with, we're going to sing old songs today, but there's so much in here about the nationalistic valiantly fighting and establishing the territory of Israel again, which was given to Abraham, but it was lost through all of those intervening years. Well, I don't know if you've ever really taken totally. Joshua didn't go all the way to the Euphrates. He should have, but he didn't. But at any rate, I thought we would just go back to our roots here, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, because we see here the Lord trampling out the vintage, and so we're going to see some trampling here in today's study as well. So let's just sing this familiar song. Well, we don't hear too much truth marching on in the world, and so what is the church about? And we are the church. Is the truth marching on through your life? We're going to be seeing, by the time we get done with this psalm, we're going to be seeing the words, "Through God we will do valiantly." You know, I came across twice this morning the term "let go and let God," and there are times for that. But there's certainly more times when we need to do something. And I think too often we just said, "Well, let go and let God do it." And if you're a Martha personality and you're doing everything yourself and you're not relying on God, that's as bad as doing nothing in a way, not really. But I mean, if you're going to do without him, like David will say here, we can't win any battles without you, Lord. And we can't win the battles without him either. But he wants us to show up and fight, doesn't he? Now, even in the case you say, well, what about 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat and the whole Israel, they didn't even have to lift a sword. But what did they do? They all fasted and prayed. And I think about Moses there in Exodus, when the children of Israel made the golden calf. Moses prayed. God wanted to wipe them out. And Moses prayed, and it kind of looks like, well, man, our prayers can cause God to change his mind. But he does answer prayers, doesn't he? He answered Moses' prayer. So we have here then this urgent prayer for the restored favor of God is what this prayer, what this psalm is about. O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. O restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its branches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things. Had any hard things this week? You'll have some again this next week. And every week thereafter until you take your last breath. And maybe not necessarily hard might not be quite the right description always, but there's going to be trials and difficulties and afflictions. That's our lot in life because although we've died to sin, our mortal bodies have not yet and will not until we take our last breath. God's promised to bring us to Christ's likeness, and so that's how we get there, is through hard times. And surviving those hard times because we turn to him, right? Now, verse 4, he's very pleased with this. You have given us a banner to those who fear you. And we can say amen to that, couldn't we? That it may be displayed because of your truth. Is the banner of the Lord shining forth in your life? How long do people have to be around us to know that we're his? I think a banner is to be seen. I don't hear banners speaking. Banners are seen in battle to keep the forces encouraged by what they're fighting for. So I think we need to be seen as Christians more than even heard. And you know what that means, I believe. But he says, you have given a banner to those who fear you that it may be displayed. That's why we've been given the banner, so it can be displayed, it seems like. Because of the truth that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. So even with the Battle Hymn of the Republic, we were talking about some nationalistic things there, but also the underlying theme in our closing song today is all about the victory that the Lord has given us eternally over sin, really, and in his grace and his mercy. Verse 6, well, I guess it didn't get verse 5, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. Again, our prayer, particularly for the lost, to be saved and strengthen us, your people, with your right hand and hear me. David is crying out to him. And then here is the answer in a way. Verse 6, God has spoken in his holiness. There's three I wills here. I will rejoice, God says. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, that's on the east side of the Jordan. Manasseh is mine, that's the northern territory there from Jerusalem. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Again, northern tribes, Ephraim was the main one. Judah, southern tribe, is my lawgiver. Jerusalem is in Judah. Now, these are the enemies. Moab is my washpot. That's what you would use when you rinse the feet off of the people that you wash their feet. And so it's not very clean water that comes off of dirty feet. But that's who he's looking at as Moab. You're my washpot. Over Edom, here are the nasty ones that we're attacking at this time. I will cast my shoe. I think he's just going to kind of squash him out, you know. Philistia, over Philistia, shout in triumph because of me. Oh, that God could say that of our nation once again if we would turn to him. But if we say, no, we don't want you, we don't want any part of you. Verse 9, who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? So I believe this is referring to Petra. I believe this is referring to the fact that he sent Joab from the main army there up in north, up by the Euphrates, with a team of really tough guys. And they ended up killing, one account has 18,000, and this account here says 12,000. But Joab and his special forces group wiped out Edom. And from that point on, they were done. Edom was done at that time under David. Who will bring me to the strong city? That's God. Who will lead me to Edom? That's God. And then he says, is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? We didn't sense your presence there when the attack came in from the south. And then he says prayerfully, give us help from troubles. Isn't that a good prayer for us? Give us help from troubles. For the help of man is useless. How true that is. How often we go to man for help, and in most respects, it's pretty useless compared to the help from God. And then this action verse here, through God, very important, through God, we will do valiantly. We will be victorious. For it is he who shall tread down our enemies. I didn't pick this up until we just sang the song, but in verse 3, Battle Hymn of the Republic, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. And remember what this psalm was entitled? Set to the Lily of the Testimony. How's that? I don't know that that's necessarily scriptural, but at least words in the Bible here. Set to the Lily of the Testimony. So then we sang, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. Well, Father, we thank you for this reminder of checking with you, particularly at times of defeat. And rather than blaming you or saying, where were you, Lord? And saying, no, where were we, or where are we in our relationship with you? And Lord, you do allow testing to show yourself strong, and testing to see, for us to see how weak our faith is, how quickly we go to a shaky faith at times under difficulties. And Lord, surviving those difficulties then is so good for us, because it shows us that you took us through again, and we were able to stand in the midst of that windstorm or whatever it was. And so, Lord, we just thank you. So here we are with time to pray now. So we want to be valiant in our prayers. In other words, praying for victory because of you and through you. And so our prayers need to be to you and through you. So lead us now by your Spirit that we would be in one accord in these prayers, in Jesus' name. Well, we're coming to the end of the hour here, and remembering those last verses there in today's psalm. Through God, remember that, through God, we will do. That's quite a statement. Will we? Through God, we will do valiantly. So I guess that's the question. Will we let go and let God, or will we do our part? Will we do valiantly? And as already been said, we've got so much to be thankful for. Wanted to close with this. I got another new hymn here. It was written in 1739 by Charles Wesley. And it's praying for 1,000 tongues. But we've got a few tongues here this morning. May we be singing my great Redeemer's praise. So let's sing along with this and notice these words. These words of these old hymn writers are really just something else. They are so filled with scripture, inspiration, and it's just a joy to be in them, is it not? So, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer lives. Father, we thank you that we can sing your praises and, Lord, the triumphs that you've given every believer. And, Lord, we prayed for wisdom today, and that is good. And, Lord, we do know, though, there is a time when we just need to believe, not to ask why, Lord, why, Lord, why, Lord, but trust you. You've said you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will be with us all the way through. And, Lord, particularly people that call themselves believers, and continually live in a constant state of why they don't have their eyes in the right place. And so, Lord, you have blessed this nation with Bibles more than maybe any other nation in the world. And yet today we're at a way, 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 way low time low in the general acceptance by the citizenry in this country of believing the Bible is true. So I think we're truly in a really a precarious situation. We've never been this far away from you in our history. We've been up and down, but not where the majority of the people didn't believe the Bible at all. And that's where we are now. We've turned our back so completely on you. And so, Lord, help us. I do want to just mention these names, very familiar, but we're instructed to pray for kings and those in authority. And in these world leaders, I pray for Xi Jinping, China, Narendra Modi, India, Joe Biden, the USA, Joko Widodo, Indonesia, Jair Bolsonaro, Brazil, Arif Alvi, Pakistan, Shehbaz Sharif, Nigeria, that's a new one, Hassanna Wazed, Bangladesh, Vladimir Putin, Russia, Lopez Obrador, Mexico, Yair Lapid, that's another new one, Israel, Olaf Scholz, another new one, Germany, Boris Johnson still shown, but he's not really the head anymore, but I don't know who he is, Kim Jong in North Korea, and Yoon Suk Yeol in South Korea, and of course there's many other countries, this is just a few of them, but Lord, we do pray for their souls, Lord, created in your image, and yet most cases so drunk with power and greed and corruption that they're so far from you. And that's the way of the world, but that's not the way of you. And so we pray that they would come to know you, and we pray that we would be that witness for you today. It's already been prayed where we go, different places, but you have each situation for each one of your children. Lord, help us to say, yes, Lord, we'll do valiantly for you today through you and through the name of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit in being that witness in Jesus' name. Amen.